Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 32. Satava duta jalada parapatan. Grihaschita drishti vimushta rochisa. Ambodaya shwasa hata vichuk shubhur. Nirada bita digaba vichu krushu. Okay. Shata. By the hair on Lord Nrisingadev's head. Abhadutha. Shaken. Jalada. The clouds. Parapatan. Scattered. Graha. The luminous planets. Cha. And. Tatrishti. By his glaring glance. Vimushta, taken away. Rochisha, whose effulgence. Ambodayaha, the water of the oceans and seas. Shvasahata, being struck by Lord Nrisingadev's breathing. Vitukshubibu, became turbulent. Niradabita, frightened by Nrisingadev's roaring. Digiva, all the elephants guarding the quarters. Vichukrushu, cried out. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The hair on Nrisingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the entire world began to cry in fear. Purport. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yadya 1041. Yadya vibhuti sattva srimad orjita evava tattad evava kachatvam mamate jongsa sambhavan. Know that all beauty, beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. The illumination of the planets and stars in the sky is but a partial manifestation of the Lord's effulgence. There are many wonderful qualities of different living entities, but whatever extraordinary things exist are a part of the Lord's tejas, his illumination of brilliance. The deep waves of the seas and oceans and the many other wonders within the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all become insignificant when the Lord, in his special feature, incarnates within this material world. Everything is insignificant in comparison to his personal, all-defeating transcendental qualities. The Lord's hair on Lord Nrisingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the skies, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. As it was roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Specifically, the elephants who are guarding the four corners. Because this is taking place in Indraloka, so if it was just some elephants in Indraloka, it wouldn't be as impressive as there are four elephants that hold up Bhumandala. Now, Bhumandala is literally billions of miles across, 4 billion miles across. So it's quite heavy. And so in order to hold it up, there are four elephants in the four corners holding up this Bhumandala, which we're in a very little tiny section of Bhumandala called Jambudweep. And we're in one of the nine varshas in Bardvarsha of Jambudweep. So we're in a very, very tiny part of Bhumandala. So imagine if there was some elephant who can hold up just even this little part that we're in, we'd be quite impressed. But what to speak of the actual entire Bhumandala. And Lord Nrisimhadeva's roaring reached even the elephants. Generally, it should be understood that Lord Nrisimhadeva was, Hiranyakashipu was in the palace of King Indra. If you conquer the universe, you don't come down to Florida or something like that for a vacation. The heavenly planets are a lot nicer than this mundane earth that we're living in, which is called Martya Loka, where everything here is temporary, very, very fleeting. But on Indra Loka, they live for one manvantara. There are 4,300,000 times 1,000, or 4,300,000,000 years in one day of Brahma. And there are, I believe, what, 8 manvantaras in one day of Brahma. So it gives you close to 500,000,000 years to live for Indra. So I'm sure Hiranyakashipu had rather put his residence in Indra Loka than in Brooklyn, New York, or something like that. And therefore, of course, the Prabhupada translated it, the elephants holding up the universe, many people would be doubtful or wouldn't understand what that talks about. But that's what it says in the purport. And Bodhaya, the water. So that means whatever the water in Indra Loka is or in the universe was agitated. In other words, Lord Nrisimhadeva is not some ordinary half-man, half-lion. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Swayam, well, as it says, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all opulences. So, beginning with, what is the first opulence? Krishna has, he has all beauty, Shuddha, and he has all wealth, which is, and he has all strength, and all fame, yesha shastriyaha, jnana vairagyas chaiva, shana bhangitinganaha. So Krishna is full of all these opulences. Aishvarya sha, Aishvarya means opulence. Aishvaryasya samagrasya means full. Viryasya, all strength. Yashasya, all fame. Striyaha, all beauty. Jnana, all knowledge. All vairagya, all renunciation. Itinganaha, in full. So Krishna has these opulences to an unlimited degree. Now, who can conceive of those things? It's not possible to actually to speculate what it's like to be unlimitedly beautiful. Or what to speak of unlimitedly intelligent or knowledgeable. Now, Krishna Bhagavad Gita gives us a little hint. He says, Vedaham samatitani vartmanarni charjuna pavishami tu bhutani mam tu vena nakasjana. I know everything that's happened in the past. So just think about that. If you knew everything that was happening in the past, everywhere, in all the universes, in all the spiritual worlds too, you'd have quite a headache. What would it... So, and everything happening in the present. We don't even know what's going on inside our fingernail. We don't know what's going on inside, you know, anything. Just imagine Krishna is in every atom in this book and in between them also. He knows the whole Srimad Bhagavatam by memory. He can speak all languages. He even speaks with the cows and the birds in Vrindavan. To know everything, he knows where every atom in the ocean is right now. That's impressive. He knows everyone's name in this room. He knows who we were in our last 100 million lifetimes. Who our grandparents were, who our pet parakeet was. He knows everything. He even knows our telephone number and our internet, what our email address is. So these things are inconceivable. And so therefore, when Lord Nishikadeva appears, we cannot really even conceive what's actually happening when he appears, what the excitement is. If we walk into the room, how much excitement is there? The best, probably the most exciting is if we step on someone. Then they get excited. Otherwise, if we walk into a room, no one really cares. They don't even know we're there. But when Lord Nrsimhadev comes, the whole universe becomes excited, we could say. And especially when Lord Nrsimhadev is having his pastimes, his roaring doesn't just wake up a few people sleeping in class. It wakes up elephants. It gets a reaction from elephants guarding the four corners. It excites it moves the planets or the clouds, whatever clouds are in Indraloka, and the airplanes flying around there. What is the word for airplane? I guess it should be vimana, but what did Prabhupada translate from airplanes? Yes, it doesn't mention airplanes here. I wonder where I got the idea of airplanes. Oh, yeah, it's the next verse, yeah. Vimana. Not regular airplanes, but vimanas. It's not 747s, it's not mentioned. Vimanas are the demigods' airplanes. And his hair scattered the luminaries. So anyhow, even though we may not be able to perfectly realize what Nrsimhadeva was like, simply by meditating upon these transcendental sound vibrations, we can actually get the experience to one degree or another. That there's no difference between Lord Nrsimhadeva and hearing about Lord Nrsimhadeva. Rah! That's Russian. There's no difference between hearing about Lord Nrsimhadeva, but it depends upon our ability to actually hear. If we can hear perfectly, then we can actually experience Lord Nrsimhadeva directly, because transcendental sound vibrations are actually non-different from the objects of the personalities that they're talking about. But that depends upon our ability to concentrate and to understand how to experience the transcendental sound vibration. In any case, part of it is we just see here Nrsimhadeva is. What did he do first? How did he make sure that Hiranyakashipu was dead? That was first thing. He couldn't eat anymore. He's going to starve him to death. But then after that, what did he do?
He killed the friends of Hiranyakashipu.
Well, before he killed the friends. What did he take out?
Destinance.
And what else?
Heart.
His heart. And what is his heart compared to? What kind of heart did Hiranyakashipu have? Now you got to look it up. What's that?
Golden.
No, golden. It was silver. What did it say? His heart was, here the word is, Saroruham. Saroruham, like a lotus flower. Why was it like a lotus flower? What's that? No, it didn't mention why it was like a lotus flower. Why do you think it was like a lotus flower? Rishabd. He was a strange person, so he had a strange heart. Ananta.
Because Krishna is there, he's one.
Well, he's in everyone's heart. He rips out, if someone ripped out my heart, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't call it a lotus heart. Well, because Lord Nrisingadeva touched it. Lord Nrisingadeva touched something, it becomes spiritualized. So, therefore, it wasn't. If Lord Nrisingadeva rips out your heart, we call it a lotus too. In any case, if we can see Lord Nrisingadeva ripping out someone's the heart of Hiranyakashipu, ripping out his intestines, generally that's very ghastly. But actually, for someone who's in Krishna consciousness, it's very cooling. Prabhupada once wrote to a devotee, he said that in order to control anger, we should think of Lord Nrisingadeva killing the demons. Because if you think of Lord Nrisingadeva, who's the most angry, your anger becomes spiritualized. And anything spiritual is not material anymore. So here, if we see the clouds being scattered, I think that's mentioned here, the clouds and the water being agitated, and we can hear the elephants crying, then it's a whole different experience. If we just read it, as if we're just having to get the Bhagavatam class through, and we don't actually experience it, then it's just rather boring. Unless someone tells a few jokes during the class, we fall asleep. But if we actually visualize and try to hear the elephants roaring, try to see the all effulgent Lord Nrisingadeva, and says his effulgence, he's so bright that his effulgence itself is doing these things. His tejas. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky. His breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Of course, his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. His head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. So these are all very visual, something we can actually visualize and meditate on, and it spiritualizes us. This is a process of spiritual advancement, not to just understanding things intellectually, but to experience them also. Krishna consciousness is not just some intellectual exercise, it's supposed to be a transcendental experience. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
When His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj was suffering from coronavirus, thousands of devotees from ISKCON were praying for his health, but still his soul left the body. Can we really change somebody's destiny with prayers? Srila Prabhupada said when he was sick, he told his disciples, please pray for me. Can we really, with our prayers, change somebody's karma and destiny?
Well, Krishna can. That's what Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna can prolong someone's life, or he can shorten it. It depends on Krishna. The prayer that Prabhupada wanted us to say is, if you so desire, please allow Prabhupada to stay here. So it's up to Krishna. It's not that if someone stays around, they're going to live forever. Sooner or later, we have to leave. So whatever Krishna is, and it's probably a lot sooner than we think. Therefore, if someone leaves, it's not unusual, because everyone leaves. As far as prayers, Krishna is, he arranges the universe according to the desires of the living entity, according to what they deserve, but he's not obliged just because someone asks. But everything has an effect, everything we do. There's benefit there anyhow. If someone thinks well of you, you get a lot more benefit than if they're cursing you. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kridraj, Shuman Bhagavatam, Kidai.